text is Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I'm going to be reading this two times in a row because it's a really, well, I think it's one of the, there's several, of course, important passages in the Sermon on the Mount. And the latter part of chapter 6, I think, is quite important. So I'm going to look at really, honestly, just for your attention, I'm going to be looking at verses 25 through 30 in particular, but I'm going to read it as an entire text, because I think that is how, of course, as Christ preached it, he intended us to understand it. So this is going to be Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God is so clothing the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day, its own trouble. Thus far, God's word. Let's pray. Jesus, you taught this to your disciples, and it's quite direct, it's quite clear. And so, Lord, we pray that we would indeed reflect upon what it is that it says to us, how it might challenge us, and how we might even approach our current circumstances. For Lord, we have been in difficult times. We have been dealing with burdens individually and corporately. But as we read and as we reflected upon, we were to cast our burdens on you. And so as we look at this passage, may we indeed apply what you're saying here and understanding for your glory, for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I don't know if we have any bird watchers here in the church. I mean, bird watchers in that, I mean, you may look at birds, but like, this is a hobby. This is like an activity. This seems like one that I hear about, but I don't know anybody who looks or does this as an avid thing. The only person I know close to this is my mom. My mom likes to put up bird feeders all around her house so that she can see all these birds, and she's got a little book, and she likes to keep track of all the birds that come and visit and things. I don't know. I mean, and then, of course, she has cats, and they are entertained by all of this activity because they are watching in the window all the cats, whatnot. And I get concerned about it all the time because sometimes she forgets to leave. She leaves the bird feeders up at night, and the bears come. The bears are always looking for, like, an easy opportunity, and they come around and knock down her bird feeders. It's just not something I think many of us maybe get into. I'll be honest, I'm not really sure what the attraction is in that kind of thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I think birds are amazing. I mean, I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I looked at birds and thought, wouldn't it be so cool to be able to fly and go everywhere and travel? Quite envious. And as I think about it, I actually have always thought that there are several birds that I've actually favored. I remember when I was a kid, my dad, who was in wildlife conservation, introduced me to a golden eagle that had been rescued, this massive bird. I had no idea how big that thing was. It was so cool to see it and up close and personal, to see how strong and powerful it was. When I used to do waterfowl photography when I was in high school and college, I loved the canvasback duck, how super fast it was and how it can maneuver. And, I always liked the combination of a duck because both they got to swim and fly. I mean, like, that just seemed like, as a kid, the two activities that I maybe wanted to. But as I've gotten older, there's actually another bird that's kind of risen to the top as my favorite bird, the chicken. But not alive. Well, alive enough to produce eggs. That's fine. But it, you know, on my trips to places like Nepal and Haiti, I can understand why we cook them up. They're very annoying. They make a lot of noise, a lot of racket. I can see the temptation of human beings to say, enough, where you're just going to go ahead and cook them. I like chickens because I think that they are something I always enjoy at a meal. This part of this section of chapter 6, as I've mentioned, the latter part of chapter 6 is all about anxiety and worry. You know, Jesus, he's just not, he doesn't give us stuff that is really relatable or understandable. This is probably one of the most practical aspects of this entire Sermon on the Mount. The latter part is divided into two parts. I've already mentioned there's talking about causes of worry, which is in verses like 19 through 24. And then starting in verse 25, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, which then is couched by, at the end in verse 34, same language being used there again. So the last part is all about how not to worry, how not to be anxious. So these are the cures to anxiety, worry, and fear. And the first cure, there's two of them in particular. We're going to look at the first one today. And the first cure to anxiety and worry, and I'm not making this up, is look at birds, look at flowers. If you don't think I'm serious, just look at the text and see what Jesus says about dealing with anxiety and worry. Verse 25 again, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor your body. What you will put on, is not life more than food, the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, will not array like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the fields, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, this is the passage I'm going to focus on. We're going to look at the latter verses next week. But this section, as I said, is all couched by do not be anxious about your life. And Jesus goes on to explain specifically what he's concerned about, where our anxiety and fears and worries go to. And it goes to the basic living essentials, not just in general, but rather to the issues of eating and drinking and what we will wear, the basic essentials of life. And before giving us this cure, he is telling us that one of the things he's concerned about his followers is that we not be small-minded. Now, what do I mean by that, small-minded? He says here, is not life more than food, the body more than clothing? He's saying that we are not to be preoccupied with food and drink and clothing. Jesus here is saying here, this is something that we should not, this is something the Gentiles do, not of his followers. Now, let me qualify this, and I'll say this again later. Most of us are not in a life-death situation, a survival mentality or mode. We're not like Tom Hanks on this remote island in the movie Castaway, where everything and all of his energy and actions need to figure out how to live, to eat, and to drink, and what he will wear. The fact is, though, many of us, even as we have plenty, live or have a mindset of like Tom Hanks. We are in survival mode all the time, focused on things that maybe we don't need to be so focused on. Let me illustrate this as best I can, I think, by referencing our two rescue dogs here at the Wakefield House. Our current rescue dog, Luca, a Belgian Malinois, has food resource issues, okay? The kids just saw this again this week. If I bring in a bag of food, like she ran out of her food, she goes from nice, happy dog to like crazy dog. She gets really kind of anxious and worried. And if you get close to the bag, she starts growling at you. And she gets all very, you know, she gets food, we call it the food resource issue. She gets really little wacky. If I'm eating something and it really smells well and Drew kind of like tiptoes closer to me, she kind of gets in between Drew and the food like, hey, I'm first in line here, okay? You know, don't worry here. He thinks that like they're in competition, okay? Aspen never, our previous dog, our black lab, had no such issues. Did not care. I could put the food out. We could leave food on the floor and she wouldn't touch it. She would be, she wouldn't bother to, you know, it was, she was not concerned about it. I mean, it wasn't that she didn't like eating. We didn't have a problem feeding her. She ate every time we ate. She would eat snacks, things like that. But it wasn't something that she really got worked up about. And so as simple as I can make it, Jesus is saying here, don't be like Luca, be like Aspen, okay? That's the best way I can think to illustrate this. We're not to live in survival mode, food resource mode. That's not what the context is warranting here. Jesus is saying we could be too preoccupied with the basic necessities of life. And so the cure to that is verse 26, the first part of the cure. Look at the birds of the air. Jesus' first part of the cure is simple. Look at the birds. Remember one of the causes of anxiety and worry when we're looking at was what we're looking at? Remember what we're seeing? He talked about light and darkness and focusing on those things. Jesus here is saying, don't focus on darkness, but look at the birds of the air. Birds of the air are the cure. He's telling us, look at them. Martin Luther writes, he's making the birds our schoolmasters and teachers. Birds, focus on them. Focus and watch and observe. Focus on that and not focus on that which causes anxiety. The second part of this first cure is flowers. Spurgeon wrote this, lovely lilies, how they rebuke our foolishness and nervousness. Jesus says, consider the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field. Jesus is instructing his disciples that when it comes to anxiety and fear, look at the birds in the sky and the lilies in the field. Now, maybe if I pause, let me just pause here and honestly ask you, do you think this sounds like a cure to anxiety and worry? Bird watching, admiring flowers. If you're honest, and maybe you're honest, it sounds more like Jesus is doing a distraction, not a solution here. In other words, you know, just do that activity and you'll be distracted and you won't think about your food or drink or things like that. Sounds more like a distraction. And I can understand why maybe you would say that. But if I stopped simply here and talking about the cure, I'd be doing a bad thing because there's a reason he's telling us birds in the air and flowers of the field and why we should focus on them. There's a theological reason behind them. And he says it in both cases. By looking at the birds, admiring the flowers, there is something theologically that we are doing when we do that. He says it in verse 26 and verse 29. Again, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. Neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Again, end of 28 and verse 29. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? The point that he is making there is when you look at the birds, when you gaze or admire the flowers, you should see some activity. And that is the activity of the Father. Who feeds the birds? The Father. Who grows the lilies? The Father. And what this passage is telling us is that the birds and flowers of this earth have a faith and trust that their heavenly Father will feed them. I love this quote by John Calvin. He sums up this passage so, so well. It's there in your bulletin. The birds and flowers are preaching to us. They ask us, where is our faith? Do you not know the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? That quote there sums this up perfectly. The birds and flowers have faith in their creator, in their maker. They have faith. And that's why Jesus ends the entire section in verse 30. Oh, you of little faith. The cure then is this. As we gaze upon the birds, as we admire the flowers, we are reminding ourselves. We are looking at how the Father takes care of them. And in so he will take care of you. Jesus is telling us to look at what is real, to be realist. Look at what is real. Look at what is in front of you, the birds and the flowers. Don't focus on what's not real, which is your worries and your cares, your worries and your anxieties, but study that which is in front of you. What is not real is this, those things and the worries of the future that you have no control over. But the birds and the flowers are right in front of you. They are real, and you can see they're being cared for. Look at when you look at the birds and admire the flowers, you're reminded, or you are looking at the Father's handiwork, how he cares for them. Now, by way of application, I think there's two things that maybe we can maybe look at for ourselves. Reflection here is easy, but maybe doing some soul search, you might be a little bit harder to do. I'm going to encourage you, as first way of application, as simple as it is, to take the advice of many others that have gone before you, look at the birds, admire the flowers. And I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious. Take as much time as you can to vote. Go outside. Not today. It's too hot. But find another time, or do it early in the morning or in the evening, and watch the birds. Go to your favorite nursery or garden. This is the most perfect time of the year, other than the pollen all flying around, to go to nurseries and gardens and see all the flowers. And don't rush those experiences. I have fond memories in growing up in rural Western Pennsylvania of, as I mentioned earlier, I did some wildlife photography when I was in high school and college. I used to go with a high school friend. We'd get up before the sun would come up. We'd get situated in a spot. We'd get settled in quiet and wait for the sun to come up and for the world to come alive. And I remember those hours going by. I hated the early starts, but boy, was it amazing to watch the world wake up, to see how everything came alive. I grew up along the Atlantic Flyway. I had great opportunities to watch migrating birds, thousands of them filling the skies in the spring and in the fall, seeing and how they do it. I love thinking about this. I could go all afternoon boring you with all kinds of information about birds. I know I'm starting to sound like I'm a bird watcher like my mom. I'm not really, though. I don't have the patience to do what she does. But I do. I find many of the things fascinating. I think I've mentioned this before, the osprey. I've been following the osprey that live here in New Hampshire, up in the lakes region, up on, I think it's Squam Lake, and I think at the Science Center up there. These osprey travel between Squam Lake and Brazil every year, back and forth. How they do that across the Great Caribbean Sea and make it there without a GPS, without a map, without any navigation tools, all that stuff, I think that's seriously impressive, just reflecting upon that. And even consider this now. We see all of New England now in bloom. But it was not, I know it feels like it's a long time ago now when it's 90 degrees outside, but it wasn't that long ago when there was snow on the ground, when it was frozen, when the landscape looked like there's no way flowers would be coming up at any time in any way. But they do. The fact is, I could do this all day, and so can you. Take an opportunity. Take the time. Whether go for a hike or a walk, find a nice place to sit, take time to look at the flowers, to observe the birds, a garden, a nursery. We live in one of the most beautiful places in North America. There are opportunities like none other to be able to do and apply exactly even what Christ is telling us to do. Secondly, though, and this is maybe a little bit of a harder thing for us to do, is maybe we need to take some time to confess. To confess our lack of faith in our Father. This quote is, I heard this quote in a lecture on this, on the Sermon on the Mount. It was from a German preacher, I think in the early 20th century, who said this: every worry is a vote of no confidence in the Father. That's a real indictment, isn't it? Every time I worry, every time I act like everything is up to me to figure out, every time I'm anxious, every time I put my trust in something else other than Christ, it's a vote of no confidence in the work of the Father. Now, before I go further, I want to, again, just couch all of this. I know it's natural to worry. I know it's natural to fret and be anxious. And certainly there are extraordinary times when that is quite reasonable. It is in our human nature that we will worry. And I'm also aware of the fact Christians will go through difficult times. Worry will be understandable. This passage is not a statement to say that we will never suffer or come upon hard times. Hard times will come and we will struggle at times. But this passage is addressing more of that everyday life, of that everyday experience that we might have where we might overly focus on things that we have no control over. The passage, remember, is addressing sometimes our fixation on food and drink and clothing, and will we have enough? This passage is also about how we live as a Christian, and does our life look more secular than one of faith? Do we operate like God is our Father and who is in control, or do we go about our daily lives thinking it's all up to us, that we have to provide for ourselves, that we are entirely responsible for our good fortunes? The food that we eat, the drink, the clothes that we did, it's up to us. Now, I know that when we sometimes get into that thing and we kind of pat ourselves on the back, that look at all of what I've accomplished and done, what happens whenever something bad comes along? The stock market goes in flux, a pandemic comes, natural disasters, personal problems. We begin to worry and fret because if we think it's all up to us, we begin to worry. And that makes sense. But maybe if all the while, through our daily lives and through the struggles, we might find it easier to trust that the Father is at work, to trust and look up to the birds and the flowers. I'll close with this. I was thinking about the practice of saying grace before a meal when I was studying this passage. You know, that activity that often, hopefully many of us get a chance to do is pray before a meal. And I think one of the reasons why it's such a good idea is that when we do that, it is sort of taking into practice the passage that is right in front of us. In fact, I'm actually curious, and I don't know if any of you have ever heard a prayer for a meal, if it ever does include the birds of the air or the flowers of the field, it should. Because I think this passage is really rooted in why we say grace as Christians. Because it is a moment, that moment before we partake of those things, that reminds us of the birds of the air, of the flowers, and how God provides. It might be just the cure for your anxiety. Maybe the next time when you're saying grace, let that be the moment indeed for you and for your family, a reminder to look at the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, and where your faith should properly be put in the Father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you do not make this complicated. Rather, you just give what is right in front of us. Birds of the air, the flowers of the fields. Lord, we confess that sometimes we're moving so fast or we are just so distracted with so many other things that we just don't even notice these things. And yet maybe the very cure and worries and anxieties that we deal with might just be served well by just taking time to stop, to look, to reflect, to remember who feeds those birds, who grows those flowers, and how we are much more valuable than them. Lord, help us to meditate more on that truth, whether it is when we say grace or whether it is that we have an opportunity today or any day to gaze upon your creation and see what is real and right in front of us and be reminded of your care and love. If they can put their faith in you, may we do the same. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.